This is the Janine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Janine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Janine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us now is a former White House Deputy Press Secretary. You know him well. He's been on the show many times, and you've seen him during the Trump administration. Join me in welcoming Hogan Gidley to the Judge Janine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Okay, Hogan. I was worried with the President's State of the Union. I was worried that he wouldn't get through it. He was so amped up, charged up. He spoke so quickly. They said it was going to take an hour and a half. It took like 58 minutes. What was your take on it?
Well, you know, Democrats were kind of in a pickle there, right? Because if on one hand, if they didn't clap, it would look really bad. On the other hand, if they did clap a lot, that meant it had to stay up there longer, making those clear signs of mental and physical decline more obvious. So they were kind of stuck. Listen, you hit on a few things already. The demeanor of this speech was all wrong. It was angry. It was yelling. It was divisive, finger pointing. It didn't resonate or connect with people. There was no warmth. There are always a couple of lines in a speech like that that get both sides to kind of join in together and yep. clap and stand. There was none of that here. It was clearly partisan. It was clearly political. Mm-hmm. Also, the substance. The American people care about the border. They care about the economy. They care about crime. He started this speech with Ukraine, the State of the Union of the United States of America, and he started with Ukraine. He lamented that we're not giving them more money to secure their border and didn't even address our border until 41 minutes into the speech. He was yep. finally forced to say Lakin Riley's name by someone who screams, say her name. He grabs a button, holds it up and says, Lincoln Riley, says the wrong name, and then doesn't admit or acknowledge the fact that it was his border policies of wide open borders that allowed her alleged killer into this country. He yeah. didn't. Crime is on the decline. At the very moment, Kathy Hochul is activating the National Guard to go protect the subways in New York? What is he talking about? It was so devoid of reality, too. It was completely antithetical to what the American people know because it's what they feel every day. Not to mention the fact he also said, Joe Biden, that he never got intelligence that it would be a disaster if they pulled out the way he wanted to. And, of course, eventually that came out. That it was true that they absolutely did brief him on what would happen. And it happened exactly the way the military experts told him it would happen. Listen, that's the seminal moment in this presidential timeline that really began to see him sink in the polls. That's what really angered the American people. So, of course, he's not going to bring that up. Of course, he's not going to bring up the border. But that father is now being charged yep. with some type of, you know, violation of law. Okay, he violated law. He faces up to 90 days in jail. And I'm thinking to myself, can you imagine, though, the emotional prison he has been in ever since his son was murdered at Abbey Gate because of Joe Biden's decisions? And that's what this all was, a contrast in the decisions that this president has made versus other presidents. He tried to make all the things he's done sound like they've improved our lives, whereas everything that's happening that's bad is somebody else's fault. No one in this country believes that. Listen, I've done a lot of these speeches with President Trump. Every single section is poured through with attorneys, is poured through with your policy experts, poured through with your comms teams. You want to make sure every word, every jot and tittle is right. And this is what they came up with to deliver to the American people. And you mentioned him being amped up. My gosh, Judge, talk about overcompensation, right? I mean, another thing that kind of fascinated me, too. I don't know if you – I mean, listen, I knew for – I've known for years that Joe Biden was a 18-wheeler big rig driver.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that, you know, he started the civil rights movement. I knew that he was arrested for seeing Nelson Mandela in South Africa, okay? What I didn't know was that he taught the Second Amendment for 12 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you learn something new every day.
You know, what was, I thought, kind of sideways in my mind was when he started talking about giving public school teachers a raise. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, rank politics, if you want to talk about, you know, his bad policies, he talks about making sure, and I remember writing this down, the third and fourth, 3 and 4 year olds, we ought to make sure that they have to go to preschool because he wants to make sure that every child reads by the third grade. Well, you know what, Mr. President? A couple of things. They're graduating from a high school they can't read. And that's your fault because during the pandemic, you sided with the teachers and there was no metric to get those kids back in school. And more Pell Grants? You're already forgiving loans. You want to give out more freebies? Public school teachers a raise. How much money did we give them in COVID? We don't even know where they spent it. I mean, that really irked me. And I got to tell you, it's like it was all politics. He went after the Supreme Court with Roe versus Wade. You're going to see the power, the electoral and political power women have. I mean, I kept getting offended and I kept saying, Janine, give him a chance. He's a president. You gotta take this seriously and you've got to recognize he's doing it for the country. No, he isn't. He's doing it for politics, rank politics.
Yeah. And also you hit on something there I think is really important. He said in the speech, he reduced the burden of student loan debt. No, he didn't. He shifted the burden of paying back college loans from people who voluntarily took those loans out to Americans who chose not to go to college. He's forcing everyone who didn't go to college to pay for those who did. He didn't reduce the debt. He just gave the bill to somebody else. And there's not a school proficient. I think it was in Baltimore they showed that had someone who could read or do math at grade level. And so his notion of giving teachers pay raises, sure, if you're doing a good job, is it merit-based? Of course not, because as you said, it's a handout to the teachers' union. This whole thing was just one big massive giveaway to pieces of the electorate that he thinks he needs to kowtow to, or he thinks he needs to pander to try and get their vote in November. I was really shocked at so much of the content of this speech, not to mention, as we've talked about, the delivery of it as well. I mean, my goodness gracious, he talked about how women were going to rise up against the Supreme Court, like he was threatening the Supreme Court. Okay, great. Tell me what a woman is. He doesn't even know what that is. He can't even talk about that. He also talked about the rich paying their fair share for the 9 millionth time, although no one says, quote unquote, what it means to be rich. Second of all, sure, I bet everybody who you think doesn't pay their fair share will be happy to once Hunter Biden pays his fair share. I mean, this is so ridiculous. He talked about gun control, banning assault weapons, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, let's follow some new, when Hunter Biden follows gun crimes, then maybe we'll do that too. I mean, everything he was trying to project onto somebody else, his own family was guilty of.
Yep.
And he didn't mention it at all. I mean, it was just so tone deaf and so irrational. I just don't think it landed at all.
Well, you know, you got this sense that, you know, he was really basically saying half of the country is an insurrectionist. They're sexist. They're evil. I mean, we're going to hear about January 6th, Hogan, for the next 8 months. You know, they're going to make it a holiday, I think. And, you know, he had, you know, the amazing part of it, he had all this fencing put up. Did you see around the White House?
Of course, he
has the fencing put up, and yet he can't get to the State of the Union on time because he's got all kinds of Hamas protesters who are blocking his way. I mean, he's like preventing and the wrong thing. He's so not focused on where he needs to be focused.
But the progressives, too, Judge, are angry at him because he didn't use the word abortion enough.
Oh.
They're angry at him because he didn't lock, stock, and barrel say that there was a ceasefire now. It's all Israel's fault. Although he did quite frankly, pander a lot to that side. And now we're sending troops into off the coast of Gaza. And he emphatically says, we're not putting boots on the ground. What do you think's going to happen when the Houthis or someone else attacks our people and ends up killing one of our American soldiers? What's he going to do then?
Well, I mean, but let me ask you.
Okay, fraught with danger.
It is fraught with danger, but you know what? You ask the question, I have to answer it. What is he going to do then? What did he do when how many were well over 100 have been injured in Syria and Iraq? He just ignored it while his defense secretary was in the hospital. No one was running the joint. Some of these people have traumatic brain injury, which is a lifelong injury. You know, when they're injured, when Americans get injured, he just like ignores it and just keeps on going. So now we're going to have a port for Hamas. And I agree with you. No boots around until something happens over there. And he's got to show those progressives. He's going to make sure that he protects Hamas. And he wants a two-state solution. We had a two-state solution. And look what happened.
Right. And October 7th happened in the middle of a ceasefire, by the way. I mean, a two-state solution with whom? You're trying to give Palestine, you're trying to give Gaza back over to the people who profess that killing Jews and Americans get you payments from the government. I mean, you're giving it back over to terrorist organizations. Look, foreign policy is difficult. Don't get me wrong. It is very layered. It is very nuanced. It is hard to figure out. However, the previous administration did a pretty damn good job keeping us out of wars and keeping the rest of the international community at bay and calm. So you can say what you want about Donald Trump. You can not like his personality, whatever. But the fact is, Russia, for the first time in decades, did not try to invade Ukraine.
Right.
North Korea stopped firing rockets over into South Korea. We had, six peace deals in the Middle East with the Abraham Accords and others, rallying the region around the common enemy that is Iran and it being the world's largest state sponsor of terror. Those things are just factually accurate. And the American people feel not just what happens here at home, but what happens internationally. And they know one of these people running for president right now, Joe Biden, has made their lives worse, have prevented a future that has any semblance of success, whereas Donald Trump gave them all of those things they wanted. There is a reason Hispanics are going overwhelmingly to Trump. There's a reason women are now split evenly between Trump and Biden. It's because they understand those policies made their lives better. And what they face now are problems, challenges here at home. They see the crime. They see the southern border. They see the strain on our healthcare system, on our education system, on our first responders, our tax dollars going to pay for people who are here illegally, not taking care of our own poor people, our own veterans, instead giving out thousands and thousands of dollars in gift cards to people who violated our laws, bringing in criminals into this country. And if someone on the left tells me one more time, well, Americans commit crimes at a higher rate than illegals. Right. Well, we got our own crazies. Why in the world would you want to import more of them, for heaven's sake?
Right.
So this whole thing is clear.
Yeah. Hogan, stay with us. We're going to a break, but I have a few more questions when we come back.
It's the Judge Jeanine Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
I'm back with my guest, Hogan Gidley. Hogan, thanks for staying with us. What is wrong with the unions?
Not to mention the fact his policies, Joe Biden's policies, have been clearly shown to reduce the workforce in our auto industry by 40%. Can you imagine another industry where the leaders of your industry say, we're going to support somebody whose policies would kill 40% of your jobs? There's a reason in 2016 the rank and file members of these unions really did go to support Donald Trump, whereas the leadership had to do what they had to do because they know where they get their money from and that's the Democrat Party. So they had to, of course, go out there and champion Joe Biden, champion Hillary Clinton. But there's a sea change happening here. And a lot of people point to Michigan as one of those places with those 100,000 kind of no confidence votes in Joe Biden. A lot of them point to Dearborn and the Muslim community.
Yep.
That's true. But a lot of those voters who did that are protesting from the auto industry. They're the regular American worker out there who've been kicked in the teeth by Democrat policies for far too long. It happens all the time. And Donald Trump was one of the first people to ever address it in the way that he did, bringing manufacturing jobs back, working to have policies to drill, to allow expansion in the auto industry. This is not what Joe Biden wants to do. The idea that electric vehicles can run this country, that somehow the most powerful nation on the planet can get all of its power from Skittles and gumdrops and unicorn hair is insane. It does not work. I rented a Tesla recently. It was the only choice I had. I went 56 miles one way, 56 miles back, and the thing went from 100% charge to 30. I didn't play the radio. I didn't do anything. I'm telling you, we are years, years, and years away from this ever being close to a reality. And they make it sound like it's just around the corner. If those Republicans would just respect the sun, and it doesn't make any sense at all. No science backs this up whatsoever. So for the party that says they believe in science, they sure don't. It is very frustrating. The American people see it. And I'm telling you, this election, when Joe Biden in 2020 went out there and told he wouldn't frack anymore, he wouldn't drill anymore and all that, I just don't think the people believed him. Now they understand what he's trying to do and how he's trying to erode not just our economic base with auto and energy being net exporters of energy. Now we're kind of importing it and relying on other countries. But what he's doing to the American worker with these policies is a real problem for him.
Yeah, Hogan Gidley, you got that right. And, you know, I think that it's the American worker who's hurting. It is the children, our children in the education system. And, you know, for all the talk of the environment, it is the electric car, which is more harm to the environment than anything else, given the fact that, you know, if you get if once that battery goes dead, it's the size of the chassis of the car itself. There's nowhere to get rid of it. It's an environmental damage, and insurance companies won't even insure these batteries. That's how bad they are. And in the end, I mean, we spent $7 billion, I think, to set up this national battery charging system. And there isn't one battery charging system that's up and working. And then you have people like Senator Elizabeth Warren who are out there saying, oh, it's great. And then she's doing some kind of a press conference and she forces herself in line in front of other people waiting to charge their car to show the American people how easy it is to charge their car. All right. Hogan Gidley, it was a pleasure talking to you this Sunday morning. You are smart as hell and funny today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks,
and
Judge.
Never forget, that's a commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. That's T the number 2T.org. Up next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show, I will be talking with Joe Concha. Stay with us.
It's the Judge Jeanine Show.